Are you sitting comfortably? Then I'll begin.
Since the first day that man stared up at the stars and saw other worlds, there has been no more haunting question than this. What will we find there? Will there be other creatures? And will they be like us? Or when that ancient dream comes true, will it turn into a nightmare? Will we find on some distant frozen planet an alien life of unimaginable horror?
So Wes, before we stay here any longer, I need to make a test to make sure it's okay.
Okay.
I have a new iPhone app that you can't run, of course.
Wait, I can't run?
No, Ghost Recorder? No, you can't run the Ghost
you
Recorder
app. You mean on my BlackBerry? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Or are you saying on my Touch? Because okay. I can run stuff on my
that's
Touch.
That's true. Those records the microphone. Okay, so I'm going to record. I'm going to record for a while. And what this program is going to do is it's going to detect any ghosts around us. And let us know if there's any ghosts in the area. Because you might have to leave. We're recording, yeah. But it's not. We're recording not for the purpose of recording.
We're trying to figure
just
out
just to let it analyze
ghosts.
The ghosts. Yeah. Yeah, so that's probably enough. So let me stop it.
Right.
And save it.
You gotta save it?
Yeah, it's really stupid. Yeah. It's really stupid program. We have to save it. I have to give it a name first before I can check it. Okay. Now we're going to check it for ghosts. Let me turn the volume up so you can all hear it. If there's any ghosts in here or not. Check your volume.
I don't hear anything.
Oh, I don't. No, I see it. It's very hard to use.
I think it's a scam.
No, but now it'll do it. You have to hit. Yep. Yep. Yeah, they're here. Yep. Okay.
Baby sounds so, and then a horn with a door opening.
Yeah.
Nice.
But if anything goes on at all that wasn't obvious to us live, that's a ghost sound. What else could it possibly be? You know.
Greetings, everybody. This is Wes.
I'm the world famous Mark Bernay.
And we are Slurpcast.
Right.
You're listening to the Slurpcast show, www.slurpcast.com, a show where we talk about how fads really relate somehow back in the past to older technologies.
Sometimes we do. Depends on the item.
I always say that that's our main theme, but we really... Right. But Mark's trying to change that.
I don't care. No, we just...
We really just talk about technology that's been going on for the past week, and we discuss things.
Right.
Bring up vintage items if we can, things that
There's celery in here.
Things that are... Well, yeah.
Okay.
So where are we eating today, Mark?
The Cheval... Vietnamese restaurant, but the one in Walnut Creek.
Instead of Oakland?
I'm very familiar with this chain from Oakland, but this one's on Walnut Creek now.
Wonders
never cease.
Yeah, we're podcasting on Thursday, the 30th of July, although you're probably listening to this at some point later.
Right.
Mark and I get together every week and go to various restaurants around the Bay Area to talk about technology and to what, Mark?
And to slurp our food.
Okay.
That's why it's a slurp cast.
Yep.
Because we don't mind munching and slurping into the microphone. And you can go to slurpcast.com.
Yeah.
Besides, you can, you know, subscribe to this and a podcast reader and stuff. But you can also go to slurpcast.com and listen to the episodes. And there's a blog entry behind each episode that gives the details, URLs, new information, just things like that.
Yeah, links to other items that we talked about during the show. We're also experimenting with a way to bring those feeds, those items, shows, and everything into Facebook so that I figure it's going to be it's a lot easier that way to get...
Yeah, it's because clicking on something to go to slurpcast.com is so hard.
It literally is very hard, and if you're on Facebook, it seems that there's a lot more people searching around for interesting things there. So we hope that by moving at least a copy of our show notes and show entries, that will increase our subscriber base, but probably not, because nobody listens to the show for a reason anyway.
Yeah. Uncle Brucey does. And next Thursday, we'll be able to wave at him.
Right.
Because he's going to be coming through on a train.
We know of two people that listen to the show.
Mm-hmm.
Uncle Brucey and somebody by the name of Lisa.
Okay. What about Flanky? Was Flanky listening? Yeah, probably not.
He was in Moscow.
You know, he is. He's been.
Is he still there?
Yes.
Oh, Tiger Shadow listens.
Okay.
Does Bez listen?
I don't know. You know.
I don't know.
I'm not sure.
He's on the show.
Yeah. And Media Hound might. I'm not sure.
Media Hound. Does T-Soft listen?
I don't think so.
Before we get into the show.
Mm-hmm.
I want to mention that there's a product that Creative Labs is coming out with that is in its beta state right now. Nobody's actually able to purchase this yet. I'm going to try to find the link to the site. I know very little about this, but I do know that it's an iPod Touch competitor that Creative Labs is marketing. I think it's called the Zi or the Z. And
how do you spell it?
Like Z-I-I-I-I or something.
Okay.
That's some ridiculous thing. And it will... It runs Android, the Android OS, but its main purpose, I think, is to be basically an MP3 or media player. Anyway, for $400, a developer is able to get this hardware and software for development purposes, but as far as it being sold, it's not available yet.
Okay.
So I'm going to try to find a link to that and put that in the show notes.
You know what it looks like or how big the screen is?
There's a website. I saw the website. I saw what it looks like. And I'm very curious to see what's going on there. I guess this is Creative Labs' way of trying to get applications built before they actually come out with the hardware. So it may be very final hardware.
Right. And are they actually specialized for that, or will any old Android applications work on it?
I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. The whole point of Android or any regular operating system like that is for consistency, so why would they want apps specifically for that machine?
Yeah, I doubt it. I bet it's probably for any Android.
Yeah.
It should be, right? I mean...
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole idea. Were there any amazing things that happened at all this week that we should talk about?
Amazing? No.
So Firefox...
We might not be able to get home tonight because there might be a bird strike tonight.
That's true, yeah. So for those of you outside of the Bay Area or outside of California...
You don't even care.
Yeah, you don't even care.
Yeah.
We have a transit system here in the Bay Area that gets us essentially from the East Bay into San Francisco and around
right.
outside of that. That is an electric train. It was pretty advanced when it was built, like in the 70s.
Yeah.
Still running to this day.
Right.
But basically, you know, no gas. It's all electric.
Yeah, but where do you think the electricity comes from?
Coal.
Yeah, which is gas or something. I don't know. Or it comes from natural gas or something. Yeah.
So anyway, they're paid by the government, actually. They're a union.
Mm-hmm.
It's maintained by the gov. So they get pretty good salaries. I think they're kind of overpaid myself.
I follow the union's Twitter feed, and they claim that the management was overpaid.
No.
That the management voted itself bonuses and raises, and that's what the problem is.
So are the people in the information booths, are they management?
No.
So then that's bullshit, because those guys get paid dookie ducats.
Right.
They get a lot of money.
And you don't think they're worth it? You don't think they do a lot of great job?
Are you kidding? They sit in there all day long, chatting with the repair guys.
Right.
Making phone calls, hanging out, and yelling at people when they put the cards in the wrong way in the gates.
Right. And what's wrong with that?
How you doing, honey?
That's because the people are trying...
You're doing it the wrong way, baby.
Because the people are trying to, sneak in.
Huh?
They're trying to sneak in for free.
Some are, yeah, but you don't treat everybody like a criminal.
Right.
Okay, yeah, never mind.
Mm-hmm. Oh, actually, speaking of that...
Yeah?
Yeah, I actually have a historical item and stuff that, you know, Captain Crunch is one of the people who got in trouble for this, but in the early days of BART, as far as I know, nothing's changed. You can still do this. People would copy BART tickets, would counterfeit BART tickets by copying existing ones that have money.
Now, how do they do that? That's the interesting thing.
Well, later on, they got just would buy programmers that can read the magnetic strip and then write it back out again.
Right.
Originally, they would do it by...
Isn't it analog? Isn't it an analog strip? I mean, there's nothing digital.
Probably.
I think it still is that way.
Not really. You know, it's just analog the way anything is analog.
Use cassette tape duplicators.
Yeah.
That's essentially what I thought Captain Crunch did.
But before him, the article said that people would use a common household appliance. And
i.e. a cassette tape.
We always believed that they meant an iron. That, you know how tape will bleed through from one layer of tape to another sometimes?
Okay.
And as it's warmer, it'll bleed through more. If you would peel the tape off of a card...
Yeah.
And it really is, literally, it just looks like a regular little piece of cassette tape or quarter reel tape or something. Yeah. They're thick enough. It's probably like regular reel-to-reel tape thickness rather than...
Right.
But anyway, so if you peel it off and put it on top of the tape of another card and then use an iron very, very carefully...
Thank you.
Use an iron very carefully to heat it up.
Yeah.
The theory is you can probably get the information to transfer. So I never really got confirmation that's how that early day one worked. I suspected so. Anyway, there's something else going on like that right now.
Right.
The hackers are hacking the San Francisco parking meters. The San Francisco parking meters will take cash or they'll take a smart chip card. Where you buy a card with $10 or $20 or whatever,
right.
And every time you put it in the meter, it subtracts money from it.
Okay.
Well, people have figured out how to duplicate those.
Nice.
And reprogram those so they can make ones with $900 on them, on the card, just run around using it in meters and stuff.
But really what you started to talk about this, uh-huh. about BART for, is the fact that there's going to be a strike, possibly.
Yeah. No, but then that reminded me of this...
Okay.
Article, and we like old things or new again stuff. That's what. So BART, to segue into parking lot hacking,
right.
in a similar kind of way.
Okay, sorry to divert from that.
Yeah.
But.
So anyway, that's all. If I can, I'll post an article on slurpcast.com about it. It doesn't really go into detail. I might be able to find more.
But how they
yeah,
do it.
Exactly.
I probably don't want to talk about that because it probably could still be done. Yeah.
Well, yeah, which is a modern article. Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. And those meters can't be changed. I doubt. Well, maybe they can. Maybe they can replace a ROM with them or something.
You probably redo the whole thing.
Yeah. But anyway, I bet it would be difficult for them to fix that kind of a problem.
Huh. So we are going into this thing where possibly BART will shut down if they strike.
Is that maybe midnight is a possible? Midnight tonight's a possibility.
Yeah. And if that happens, I'm not going into work tomorrow.
Okay.
I'm certainly not going to drive.
But you'll work from home.
There's
buses.
What's that? Just bluff it?
There's buses, but they'll be very crowded.
Yeah, they're going to be very crowded.
Then hitchhike.
Nice. All right. Do you have any articles? Before we jump into the articles.
I said it's more visual. Anyway, yeah, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Okay. That's something that's really visual. You'll have to definitely look at Slurpcast. You'll see a picture of this before it makes sense. I still don't think it makes sense anyway. But someone has a whole new concept in Bluetooth headsets.
Okay.
It starts out round like a ring. As a matter of fact, you wear it like a ring.
It looks like an earring.
No. One way it looks like a ring.
Okay.
And then you open it up. You kind of twist it open and make it look like an earring. But you wear it on your finger.
Okay.
And it has a little display on the outside, like some Bluetooth devices do, that shows the caller ID and, you know, the state of the call you're on, stuff like that.
Okay.
And then when a call comes in, or you want to make a call, you remove it from your finger, twist it so it turns into a long S-shaped thing,
okay.
and hang the S over your ear, and then the micro. So the bottom end of it is the microphone, and then it has kind of the middle is like a little loudspeaker that projects in your ear the sound.
Huh.
So I can't imagine liking this. Because, first of all, it might be too hard to get off your finger. You literally aren't supposed to wear it as a ring, just have it convenient.
Okay.
And then the little earphone part is totally outside your ear.
So it doesn't go in your ear
No, it doesn't
all.
Go in your ear at all. It's totally, it hangs over your ear, but it's outside.
Okay.
And I've used, like, the Sidekick device. And also, I had a really cheap Bluetooth headset once that both had the characteristic that nothing goes in your ear. You know, like a regular cell phone.
I remember seeing that.
Yeah. But the reason I mentioned the Sidekick is that a regular cell phone doesn't go in your ear, but at least it has a big ear thing, a big flat ear thing that you shove against your ear, and it blocks out outside noises.
Okay.
Right? But the Sidekick just has a loudspeaker on a curved part.
Uh-huh.
So you hold it outside your ear, it doesn't block your ear in any way.
All right.
And therefore the Sidekick sound, this is an old Sidekick, I'm not sure of the new ones, but the Sidekick's ear, you know, loudspeaker would project in your ear, but not in any way block your ear, and therefore would have to compete with all the outside noise, and it wouldn't be loud enough. And then, like I say, that I had a Bluetooth headset that did the same thing. It would project in your ear from the outside, but not go into it. And neither one of those would work for me at all.
Okay.
And that's going to be the same problem with this ring. It doesn't block your ear in any way, so it's going to be competing with the outside noise. And it's so tiny, I can't imagine the ear, the loudspeaker of it being very loud.
But so probably sacrificing functionality for looks.
Yeah, precisely.
I can't see the boom mic there.
No,
doing anything at all.
Yeah, because it's still way up in your ear.
It's right up against the earlobe.
Yeah, strictly for looks. But it is impressive. So go to surfcast.com and look up this article. Just see the picture of what I'm talking about.
As I often do, I like to talk about... I like to read articles from a feed that I get called the Computer History Daily Quote.
Okay.
I'm going to go ahead and jump right into this one. I think you'll have something to say about this. Although I don't know what's going on right now. We'll talk a little bit more in detail after I read this. 18-year-old Sean Fanning changes the music industry forever in 1999 with his file-sharing program that he calls Napster. His idea is to create software that allows computer users to share and swap music files. His program combines a music search function with file sharing and instant messaging. Napster is eventually shut down by a lawsuit filed by the Recording Industry Association of America. And right now, Napster is the place where you can get royalty-free music via subscription. So they've changed...
Just took over the name, yeah.
They actually reopened. They were shut down for a very long time.
Okay.
And then, yeah, I guess somebody bought them or they came out
it's really just
trying
a
to
name.
Make a profit, yeah.
It was totally different in every other way. But
right.
It doesn't say what happened to him, does it? I forget.
No.
Didn't
he get, like, he got ripped away from the company or something? And
probably. He probably went on to something better than that. Yeah.
We'll have to find out what happened.
Yeah.
This guy was really young when he started this.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll post whatever happens up on the show notes.
Right.
Or Mark will.
Sure. And I used to use it a lot.
I could find a lot of stuff on there recently. I actually downloaded it. I didn't like the installation. I don't like Napster as it is when you install it.
Oh, the new one? Yeah, but I'm just saying the original Napster had a lot of music, even like classical
right.
things. I mean, older people were using it than... Sharing older,
and it was royalty
less
free,
popular.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, it was all
the files you download were
probably illegal. Yeah, not royalty free.
Oh,
it was,
the original, yeah.
Illegal, yeah.
Yeah. No, now I thought you were talking about the newest.
No, I'm talking. I never use it.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the original. That, yeah, everything was totally free and illegal. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, but I'm saying, but even that original has a surprising spectrum of music on there because even
right.
old people use it.
Right. Yeah, it became sort of like okay for everybody to get in there and start sharing music files. And people probably figured that it was okay and legal to do since you're just sharing files with other people who are sharing them as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was an exchange. I mean, you couldn't upload unless you were sharing, I guess. I think
No, you could download.
No, that was like Kazaa.
Yeah.
The other ones. Other P2P.
Yeah, then when Napster was shut down, Kazaa and other things like that opened.
Yeah.
But they didn't have the variety because the older people didn't figure them out. So those never had the variety that the original Napster had, from my experience. But I'm talking about like pipe organ and classical
music,
pipe organ, banjo, stuff like that, yeah.
One thing I don't like about the new Napster program is that, like a lot of different media players, it tries to take over your machine.
Mm-hmm.
But I need to know... If an application wants to become the default for anything, I need to be presented with that in a way that makes sense, so that I can say, no, do not, don't install system processes.
Okay.
I would actually like to be warned by an application if it's going to install a process that runs in the background.
Okay.
Because over time, you end up with these processes sitting in the background, whether they're doing nothing or something.
I know.
It's silly because they end up slowing your machine down.
Right.
So... You know, instead of having a program that sits there and watches for additional processes and warns you, I just want the apps to actually say, look, we're going to want to install this. It's going to sit in the background and watch this folder.
Yeah, yeah. Although if that's all it does, it can stay asleep. You can tell the operating system to wake it up only if something happens that it needs, or wake up only once a week.
You can turn to manual if you go into the manager, go to the system events.
Yeah, but things like, but depending on what it does, it can stay on totally automatic. And the only thing it's wasting is virtual memory. Because it can tell the OS to put it to sleep and only wake it up periodically.
Just build it into the application itself so that when you run the application, it does what it's supposed to do, and then when you shut it down, it goes away.
Right, but
there's no problem with that.
No, but as an example, sometimes they'll want to have some process that watches certain file types.
Right.
And if anyone tries to change which applications you launch for that extension, they want to fix it immediately.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to do that all the time or something like that.
But don't.
No.
Why? Yeah. Why do you want to do that?
But you don't really want that. You don't care, I know.
No, I don't.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you know, Windows Media Player versus VNC, or not VNC, VLC, or Winamp, or any of those guys. They all have options to say, or no, the best one is iTunes. If you're not careful, iTunes will just become the default player for any media types, period. No.
It's an Apple product. It's cool and industrial.
So you gotta go into,
why would you want anything
else? You
gotta
go into the preferences and tell it to stop it.
Yeah. Right.
And it should never be that way. It should say, look, I want to be the default player. Do you want me to be the default player? So you say yes.
Yeah, right.
I don't like it, iTunes, for the three or four different processes that it has in the background anyway when the app is closed.
Okay.
Doing all these different things, you know, waiting for you to insert the iPod and stuff like that.
Oh, right. But I don't know. I don't care.
I do.
Good.
It's only memory.
No, but it's virtual memory because it'll get swapped out. If it's not active, it doesn't.
It still sits in the background.
Really
still
no,
sits in there.
No, but that doesn't mean anything. It's very possible for it to put itself to sleep and use absolutely no CPU time until some event occurs.
They all don't, but they use RAM.
No, but they don't. They'll get swapped out. They just use virtual memory.
It shows the processor.
No, but that's virtual.
And how much?
That's virtual memory, not real. Or are you sure you're looking at real memory?
No, I'm not sure. But the fact that it's
real memory
there,
is that it is waking up and it's doing things. No, virtual memory, it doesn't matter because it just takes up the space on your paging file.
Right. Well, it's still taking up space.
Yeah. Anyway.
All right.
But if Steve wants to take up space,
Oh, he will.
He's been spotted back at Apple. Apparently, he's going to Apple very rarely because people were spying and hanging around and finally got one photo of him, but apparently it's hard to get because he's not really going there that often.
Hmm. Any word on how he's doing?
No. He just looks well enough in that photo.
Hmm.
No. And that's really, that's all I really
Good for him for taking a break, man.
Yeah.
Besides the whole, whole issue with his health and stuff, he should have taken a break before that.
Why? Look what's happened. The App Store is going crazy.
Right.
The 3GS came out. It looks exactly like the old one.
Right.
There's no point buying it. You don't get any credits from the public.
Right.
Because the public can't tell the difference what you have.
Right. But you bought it.
Well,
so did a lot of other iPhone users.
Yeah, but I would have bought it more for sure and liked it better if it looked different. I'm blaming all that on Steve.
Okay, well, he's about to announce some new items here coming up, right? Where the rumors, we talked about this in the last show. We're going to expect a new iPod Touch coming in September. And then in October, the idea is that Steve himself is going to be introducing a complete rumor, a tablet of some type. Yeah.
Right.
A touch, like larger touch. Or even...
But I think it'll
more like
wouldn't it be more MacBook? A real MacBook or something? Yeah. Maybe the real OS, I think. Not just the
dumbed down.
Yeah.
It's probably going to be as powerful as like a MacBook Pro in a netbook or tablet form factor.
Right. A tablet would make sense for a Mac because people draw on it a lot.
Yeah. They're going to say, this is not a netbook.
Right.
Yeah.
Because a netbook costs $300. This costs
$1,000. Right, exactly.
And it's cool and industrial.
Don't you want to lick it?
Right.
Because that's what the Aqua is all about, right?
Right.
We talked about that before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Whenever I run Mac OS, I want to eat the items on the desktop.
Okay. I don't run that car.
I bought a $3,000 quad core desktop, Mac desktop, just so I could run Windows XP.
Did you? Did
no.
you?
No. Yeah. Thinking about doing something silly like that.
Yeah.
Just so I can run Logic.
Oh, so you'd run Mac. But you have your Mac Mini.
I do, yeah. It's fine. And I actually can freeze tracks so they don't take up that much CPU.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, I got an interesting story. Speaking of OSs,
uh-huh.
I'll dive in and you can go on to yours.
Sure.
I'll post this up on the show notes. This is an article I found called Hands-On Linux Appliances Made Easy with SUSE Studio.
Okay.
And the article, the gist of it is that Novell's launched a new web service called SUSE Studio that simplifies the process of building Linux-based software appliances. So it's basically a walkthrough or a guide for developers who are looking to start out with a free open source operating system to build appliances or toys or tools.
Okay.
Much like the iPhone, which is a form of Linux.
But will it run on that sort of problem, on the ARM processor? And
yeah.
Stuff?
Yeah, so we don't know. Yeah. I assume the site kind of talks about the different processors that run embedded Linux.
Okay.
And how you go about, you know, getting it installed on these various different form factors, or not form factors, but processors and memory configurations.
Okay.
What that would look like.
Okay.
It's kind of cool that a company like Novell does this. Although SUSE, even though he paid a certain amount for
it, can
its package
be free.
Manager.
Yeah, okay.
I couldn't quite see. I thought it was great that a commercial company like Novell was supporting this flavor of Linux.
Right.
But it really doesn't seem to be that much better than Ubuntu.
I know. I still have it because I've never updated it. Rather than that, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that was all the rage for a while. I went out and bought the package at Fry's.
Mm-hmm.
I spent like $50 on the package because it came with all the manuals.
Yeah, I just downloaded the free one.
Okay.
But if you go to the like Mac World or Linux World or something that they have in the city, Novell has a booth there where they just give away discs for it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, really all that was different in my version was the fact that I got manuals and the DVDs. Basically, were all of the different RPM packages that you could install.
But you could have installed them anyway.
Yeah, I mean, right. You could have downloaded them from the internet.
Right.
Which may have been a better idea because they were probably had better, more recent releases.
Although it'll update itself anyway.
Right.
Quickly. Yeah.
Right.
I have a weird one. That, you know, there's several. In the United States, several prepaid cellular services that really are just resellers for somebody else, but they don't really have their own independent system. Like Virgin Mobile was one of them. Virgin Mobile at one time was the lowest price; it had the best bargain in prepaid, and it would run on the Sprint network. But you'd buy your phone from Virgin Mobile, and you do a plan through them.
Okay.
Well, Sprint bought them. Sprint bought Virgin Mobile, so. Supposedly it doesn't really make any difference. I don't know what the point is because it already runs on their network anyway.
Okay.
But Sprint already has a prepaid plan called Boost Mobile. But anyway, so it's just interesting news, and I don't know what it means that Virgin Mobile is. When you get an account with that, you're directly Sprint now.
Huh, okay. Cool. What's the deal with this this flexible Kindle killer? That's going to be supplied. You mentioned it in the last show, but I'm kind of curious about it. That has the
I don't think it's anything new yet.
But it's through AT&T.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything new yet. I gave a couple of links in the last show notes, and it's supposed to come out next year, so I don't know.
So the thing I wanted to ask is the device flexible or something, or
no?
Okay, it's just the
display is capable.
Okay.
Of making something flexible. This particular device, I don't think is.
All right.
But it is thinner. It's supposed to be. Very, very thin, so you can stick it in a briefcase easily.
All right.
Do you understand the Microsoft and Yahoo thing?
No, not fully.
It's all vague right now.
Some kind of search.
Microsoft had the idea a long time ago of combining their functions of the two companies, and Microsoft was trying to buy Yahoo.
Mm-hmm.
but that fell through. And Yahoo shareholders would have been better off selling because Microsoft was offering a lot of money and the stock has gone way down since then.
And they all knew that. But, like, they're professionals saying if they don't take the deal, they're going to go way down.
Yeah, but no one really believes it.
Stockholders are going to be pissed off.
Probably no one really believed it, but it's true. So anyway, so Microsoft is no longer buying them, but there's not going to be a partnership where Yahoo will drop their own search engines and simply start using Bing under the covers. They'll still say Yahoo, but you'll get the identical search results as you would through Bing. And then they're sharing ad revenue. Each one will advertise independently, and they'll share the advertising somehow.
Okay.
I don't really understand it, and it's not finalized yet.
All
right. But anyway. Something's going on there. But we should be able to relate that to something old, because probably 500 years ago, two companies decided to share something. So it's the same thing, isn't it?
What are you doing? You're trying to follow the theme
like,
of the show?
Like the
you
blacksmith,
can actually, like, make the...
like the blacksmith store and the restaurant decided to share. Instead of the blacksmith store running their own restaurant, they started to share with the restaurant next door. So you'd go next door and use that restaurant while you're waiting for your horse to get done. It's just the same thing.
Okay.
So you go to
a gas station now and you have the snack shop.
Right.
All right.
So back then, you know, while you're waiting to get your horseshoe, you go to the restaurant next door. And then, you know, it was a setup for both, because then people will go to the restaurant while they're eating. They'll figure, hey, instead of just leaving, tying my horse out in front, I can get a shoe just right next door. So it's an advantage for both companies and stuff. Yeah.
Huh. So, anyway. Or when different medieval cities would battle against other.
And then after a while, they might combine and
they might like realize that hey, these other guys have these really great fighting skills that we don't know anything about, or weapons that we don't know anything about. Maybe we can combine our forces and take over the world.
So it's the same thing.
Oh, it is.
Yeah. So Yahoo and Microsoft are trying to beat Google.
Take over
Google.
That's right.
Yeah. So anyway.
So yeah. So I have heard news. Casters talking about how Google better be worried.
I doubt it.
Okay.
I don't know. Well, this has absolutely nothing to do with the internet, but you know how we keep going, Jerry, 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 all the time?
Mm-hmm.
But that's...
Well, that's a personal thing.
Yeah, between you and me.
Yeah.
But we do. Wes and I sometimes, because there's a pipe organist in the Bay Area named Jerry.
Who thinks I live in New York.
Yeah.
Right.
Don't you? What do you mean?
I don't now, no.
Oh, okay.
What if he listens to the show?
I saw him last week.
Did you?
I went to the Paramount Theater, the Friday night thing at the Paramount Theater, and he was playing.
Hmm.
Actually.
Jerry's a pretty cool guy.
Anyway, but the real Jerry Springer, he's still on the air all the time, right?
I think they're reruns.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
it turns out, I had no idea. Turns out that they're reruns, and for the last 6 months, he's been in London on a, quote, Broadway play, because London has a bunch of theaters exactly like Broadway that play the same type of musicals. So Jerry has been the lawyer in the play Chicago in London for almost 6 months now, and he may leave that and go to Broadway and actually be the lawyer in the real Broadway show.
What did he do? He went from being a mayor to a reality show.
I saw once that he was a co-mayor. I'm not sure if he was really... He kept saying he was a mayor. I saw once that there were like two mayors sharing it.
Hmm.
But yeah, so he was a lawyer at one point.
Yeah.
So he's playing a lawyer now on Broadway. That's okay. You know? Yeah, so then he did those shows. And yeah, now suddenly he's...
I'm a gospel singer, then I become a race car driver, and then an elevator repairman.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah,
yeah,
I know.
That's kind of...
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Anyway, it's just interesting. And reviews are that he doesn't really have a very good voice, very good singing voice. But if you amplify it just right, and he does very simple things with his voice, he can kind of get away with it. Because that character doesn't sing too much and isn't expected to be a perfect singer.
It's totally his fame that's sending him to Broadway, then, what I'm hearing.
Right. And if you saw the movie Chicago, he's the one that, what's his name, played? Who played the lawyer? Guy kind of slipping.
I don't know.
Name of, I can't think of his name right now. But a very famous actor who you'd never, ever, ever expect to sing and dance played the same character that Jerry Springer is now playing in the movie of Chicago.
Oh, I know. I think I don't know the name.
Richard Gere.
Oh, yeah, Richard
Gere. Yeah.
Yeah, you wouldn't think that he would be that good.
Right. But he was okay. His singing and dancing were good enough for that role. Mm-hmm. So, anyway.
Huh. Well, you know, like when I'm phoning you or I call
right.
you,
mm-hmm.
your answering machine comes on. In your case, it generally like forwards to your phone.
Yeah.
But just in general, you always get a message after the recording about how to go ahead and leave a message by pressing a certain button.
Yes.
If you'd like to go ahead and mark it urgent, press.
On my home or on the cellular, right?
Yeah, on the
my home one doesn't do that.
When it gets forwarded to the cell.
Yeah, my home one has that option, but I have it turned off. Well, what kind of a person would possibly turn that on and want that time-wasting thing? Yeah.
Well, so anyway, David Pogue, apparently, you know a little bit about this, or
right.
more than I do, is really, really causing a stink because while you're going through that very slowly read message mm-hmm. that we all have to deal with when we're calling other people's cell phones, you're spending money on that phone call, and you're being charged for it. That's one issue. The other issue is that by now, don't you think everybody has heard that message before and knows, you know, what to do? Even memorize what carriers have. You know, each carrier can have a different set of buttons to press mm-hmm. to either skip the message and go right to the recording. Although most of them don't.
But if you skip the message, how would you know when it's time to leave the recording?
If I call you,
how would you know what to do?
And I get your greeting message, I want to be able to skip it directly to the beep.
Right.
Anyway.
How would you know that a beep is a relevant thing? How do you know it's not a perky
at the
tone, or something?
Please
you know?
Record your message.
Yeah.
When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Now, how would you
to
know
have
that?
A callback number, press 5.
How would you know you
but
can press
I've
1
heard,
for more options?
I've heard messages go on a lot longer than that. You know?
I know.
So he's basically, he's what the article talks about, what's he doing? He's throwing up his virtual arms. He's wrangled together all the best contact points for the 4 largest carriers in the U.S., included for your convenience after the break. Haha. Let them know you don't want to pay for your voicemail instructions. So I believe that this is a good fight. I think it's probably worthwhile. I'll try to find something here in this article that we can share on the site.
Yeah, he's very active on Twitter. That's all I know about this. He's been talking
about it. Actually, he's pretty good, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's one of the better ones. I'm not following him, but you were.
Yes. Mm-hmm. No, he wrote a whole book based on Twitter where he would ask interesting questions.
Uh-huh.
And he has so many followers that all he has to do is ask a question and hundreds of people will immediately answer it. So he would tell people, I'm writing a book. I'm going to include each page of the book will have a question and the best answers. So I'm going to ask the question, tweet me your best answers to it. And he did.
Right.
He did publish that book recently.
He did?
Yeah. I haven't read it or seen anything about it, but it is published now, yeah.
Cool. He's a pretty pretty interesting guy. I actually didn't meet him, but I knew somebody who wrote a book with him a long time ago, before during the dot-com boom. And she was pretty interesting. Very much into Macs. Very strongly into all Apple products, and just almost like a, almost like an addiction. She just like memorized everything Apple.
Okay.
So, ended up working there.
That's who I think it is. Yeah, I know who that is.
Do you?
Yeah. Isn't that the one you talked? It was the same one. It was the same one. You talked about her before.
Oh yeah.
So, but I didn't realize she wrote a book with David Pogue.
Yeah. She did some work with him, and he gave her recognition in his book.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Supposedly, maybe by now, today, there's a convention called DEF CON going on in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
And when I see how many people I know on Twitter are there, I should have gone to this, actually. But anyway, there's going to be a talk there about a vulnerability in the iPhone where you can send an iPhone a series of text messages, and it will hack it. It'll act as a virus and burrow its way in. And
really? And a text message?
Yeah, a series of them, not just one.
Okay.
And Apple admits that this is true and is working on a fix, but hasn't fixed it yet. I guess the next version of the iPhone OS would have the fix.
Okay.
But anyway, they're supposedly going to release all the details today. So the clue is if you get an SMS that just has one unprintable character, shut your phone off immediately, because you'll get other ones after that, and the sum of all of them will end up taking over your iPhone and let the person read your mail and read your messages and all kinds of stuff. Yeah.
All right.
So
that's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
So right now people are vulnerable.
Right. And I say, by the time you listen to Slurpcast, you'll know more news than we do about whether it really works or really got out in the public.
I don't know.
Maybe
post this tonight.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay.
That would be kind of cool.
Yeah.
So what does it look like again? You're going to get a message.
You get it. You'll
one unprintable character, or just
Right. It'll probably be longer, but there'll only be one character that'll actually display on the screen.
Okay.
And then you'll get other ones after that. But supposedly it'll all happen so fast that once you see that one, try to shut off your phone immediately and make sure you don't take any more.
All right.
Supposedly, but I don't know. Things are going on with Skypey. I call it Skypey because I knew someone who once did that. It was really Skype.
Okay.
Now, Meg Whitman of eBay, was she... I have to look this up. Was she the CEO of eBay when they bought Skype?
I don't know. I forget.
Because that always seemed like such a weird purchase to me.
Right.
It's made billions of dollars on Skype.
And now the original guys want it back.
Yeah, but other than the marketing, I could never see what was special about Skype. Because AAM and lots of other things did the same thing, you know, just for computer to computer.
Mm-hmm.
For many, many, many years, there's been voice applications that let you talk computer to computer, including AAM and MSN Messenger and things like that.
Okay.
So Skype lets you do worldwide long distance at low prices, but they're not really the lowest. If you're in the bargain hunting and voice over IP stuff, you can find cheaper.
Okay.
And to whatever extent Skype is cheaper than other ones, it's probably losing money for eBay.
Okay.
So for all those reasons, it never made any sense to me why did eBay buy this. But now it turns out that either through total carelessness or the developers were fraudulent and hit something, but it turns out that the developers kept some licensing, kept some patent rights to do the whole core of Skype and leased those patent rights to eBay. And now that license has expired, and they're refusing to lease it again, or at least they want hugely more amount of money.
All right.
So eBay has announced that they're going to try rewriting all that code and totally get rid of it. But at the moment, Skype is running illegally right now.
Okay.
I mean, I won't say illegally, because for all we know, their claim to this license isn't valid for all we know. But anyway, but Skype is running right now in violation of that license to whatever extent it's valid. And people are saying that the kind of stuff they want to replace it with could be extremely difficult getting around those patents.
Okay.
So everyone was very skeptical if eBay will be able to.
All right.
And therefore, the whole future of Skype could be in jeopardy because of this. You know.
So weird. There's a company that came out, speaking of Skype, that's manufacturing Skype products.
Right.
From conferencing systems to Wi-Fi Skype cell phone telephones, like the one that like Belkin did in 2006 and or 2007, and what is it, SIG, SIIG did one as well.
So what's so special? So what's so special?
So one of the special things about it is that this is a true wireless G phone, and it works extremely well with very little echo. The company is called IPEVO.
Okay.
They manufacture mostly Skype products, but they do have this one, what do you call them, image frames, those picture frames that you can get.
Oh, yeah.
But it has Wi-Fi, and it if you have software on your desktop, you can stream, you can download images from your from that application to the picture frame. It's kind of cool. But the Skype phone is like, I don't know, $100. And it's
but there's a million of them,
of them have their like downfalls.
Right.
This one, in my opinion, is probably one of the best or the best out there. I'll go ahead and say that. I mean, I have played with a lot of different Skype only, not voice over IP, but Skype only Wi-Fi phones. And there's generally echo. There's dropouts in some cases, which could be due to the network that, you know, to the wireless that you're using.
Right.
But if you have like a wireless G or wireless N,
right.
and you buy one of the IPEVO Wi-Fi Skype phone, headphones, you'll notice that it's much better than the Belkin or the previous ones. And they, I think it literally runs, comparing it to the Belkin, it, mm-hmm. it looks like it actually runs some flavor of that firmware. Like they took the, they bought the firmware, somehow got a hold of it.
Although, oh, not necessarily, because Skype won't license that sort of thing unless it has exactly the same look.
Oh,
they want it
maybe
to,
that's what it is.
They want it to look like the desktop application with the, well, with your contact list and the instant messenger and all that.
It's,
so it looks maybe similar only because of that.
It's like the options are the same. If you get down to like the different like menus that are in the Belkin phone, the menus are exactly the same and how you navigate to them on the IPEVO phone.
But you've seen other ones that are Skype phones that are different? I'm just wondering if there's any chance that Skype just assists on that.
Yeah, they're all relatively the same, but I've never, I haven't gone into the options on the other ones. I'm only comparing the ones that I know, which is the IPEVO and the Belkin.
Okay.
Those are just almost identical.
Yeah, okay.
Except you can in the IPEVO, you can insert your mood. So.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay. You know what I like better nowadays? I mean, a Wi-Fi phone can be good for traveling if it's set up that you can use it in any Wi-Fi access point you go into. That can be good.
Mm-hmm.
But just for around your own house, what works much better is a wireless phone, a decked wireless phone with Skype and voice over IP stuff built into the base.
Mm-hmm.
And you plug the base into coax, and not coax, but into a regular Ethernet cable. And then, but then the wireless part is the deck frequencies, which will run much better. They sound much better than Wi-Fi, and batteries last a lot longer and stuff like that.
Okay.
Because I bought one really cheap. I found this really cheap one made in China that is apparently a brand new product. It took them a long time to ship it to me, and it's very buggy. And I really need to start dealing with them about the bugginess and get a software update or something.
Mm-hmm.
But it is usable, and I like that a lot better than my old Wi-Fi phone.
Huh. That's cool.
You know, because it will go all around the house flawlessly.
I'd like to check that out. You can run your standard phone line into it as well, the base? Or?
This one will, but they promised that. But, yeah, I'm kind of remembering now. Actually, you can do it. But to do that, you can't just push a button. You have to start dialing prefixes.
Oh, okay.
In other words, it'll default to one of them. I think if you want to do that, it has to default to the outside line.
Okay.
And then you punch in a code to bring up the voice over IP instead.
Okay.
So I don't really have any interest in that, so I just have mine defaulting to voice over IP.
That's how I would go. I almost went with Skype permanently to replace my landline, but I was using the Belkin because that was reviewed at the time, one of the best of the phones.
But there are, you can do the same thing though. There are Skype phones that are decked. But again, it's not portable. Doing it that way, you can't really carry it out to a hotel or you can't carry it out to a Starbucks or something.
Okay.
So there is some advantage of the Wi-Fi directly ones.
Huh, weird.
Anyway.
Okay,
but if Skype goes away completely, I don't know that it really matters because I say there are other replacements for most things people do with Skype. There are other ways of doing it, so I don't know.
Yeah, and I've heard Skype is not true voice over IP.
Well, it's just different.
Format. Well, they've been around enough so that now they have products out and there's companies that are supporting them like this company I mentioned. And
right.
I just kind of would hate to see them go by the wayside if they do get, you know, canned.
I mean, one of the original companies trying to take it back really cheap.
And right, the owners, right? The guys who created it?
Yeah, the original ones, But I wonder if they're trying to get eBay to lower the price by threatening them with these licenses and patents and stuff.
Mm.
But anyway, but my original point is if Meg Whitman was the CEO of eBay at the time, she is now running for governor of California, and you might think, well, eBay's so successful, saw someone big and corporate like that.
Right.
Wouldn't you want her to be the governor? But if she was the one who made the decision on the Skype deal, I don't know. That was just so weird. I don't know if I'd want her to be governor. You know?
Wow.
So
let's move on to applications.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Sure.
I got a good one.
Right. There's iPhone applications, right?
iPhone applications.
You're not going to try to... What? Shut up.
What?
You're not going to... It said initializing iPhone.
You talk to your iPhone?
No, it talks to me.
Oh.
Yeah, no, you know? Okay, here. I have a jailbreak stuff that...
iPhone locked. Initializing iPhone.
Yeah, anyway.
That's the voice. Okay.
Yeah, so. Okay, so do you have one? Because last week you snuck in some stupid BlackBerry app. I don't know why.
A stupid BlackBerry app?
I don't know why.
I got one that you're going to find pretty cool.
What?
It's a, you know the original Lunar Lander game, the vector graphics game that was in the arcade a long time ago?
Yeah.
Where you had to like kind of rotate the, what do you call it, the Lunar Lander?
Yes.
And then as its gravity kind of pushes it down.
Right.
And if you don't do anything at all, gravity makes it go faster towards the planet, towards the moon. Mm-hmm. And the idea is that you gotta use the right amount of thrust and rotate this lander in such a way where you're straight up and down on one of the platforms, and then you gently glide this guy down to the.
Yeah, I used to play that.
If it falls too fast, if you're not gentle enough, the lunar lander explodes. Okay. And you got to start over again. Well, so there's.
Start over again. You're dead. How would you start over?
So there's a bunch of these out for the iPhone.
Right.
But I found one that actually is 3D, and not only do you rotate it around like you normally do, but you use the accelerometer to do the three-dimensional rotating around. So you literally looking down on the moon as it's going by, and the lander's you're looking down over the top of the lander, and you can like tilt the lander.
Yeah, I've never seen that one. By a trivia point, that the very first one of those in the App Store. Turns out it's the sample. If you get the iPhone developer's kit,
yes,
it comes with a lunar lander as the sample program.
Oh, really?
So someone just compiled that. They gave it away free in the App Store for a while. This sounds like it's much more advanced than that one.
It's called Lunar Module 3D.
Okay.
And they've got it may be in the App Store as an abbreviated LM3D.
Okay.
But it's well worth it. I think it's like $1.99 to buy.
That much, huh? Yeah,
but the graphics are cool, and it uses sounds from like the old lunar lander, the TV stuff, the radio broadcasts, communication back and forth. So I've had a blast playing that, and they set it up so that as you progress through the different land sites, you go to parts of the moon where you actually have two land sites. They're fairly far apart from each other, and there's a refueling station in between.
Oh, wow.
So you like land on one successfully, and then you got to lift off from go to the refueling center, and then,
I have a useful one, which is hard in the Bay Area to actually use it, because it's too much light. It's an astronomy one.
All
right. There's several virtual planetarium programs and stuff, but this one, remember that thing I showed you last week with the graphics where you could move the phone around and the graphics would follow you around.
Yes. But it requires the special graphics chip in the 3GS.
Wait, so this one also is 3GS. If you want to use this feature, it's 3GS only.
Okay.
But this one draws a picture of the night sky as it is right now, and you move it around and it'll follow you around. So you can
look up.
So you can look up in the real sky, and you can look on this.
Would it match? No.
Yes. Yeah, it'll match.
Are you serious?
That's the point. Yeah.
Is that like? Does it use the? Was it the compass?
Yes. It does. It uses a combo.
That's freaking awesome.
I'm trying to get it out of night mode. It has another look to it. I'm not sure.
Okay.
Anyway. But
it's supposed to synchronize with exactly where you are, your position
is. Yeah, so you just look up in the sky and the trouble is it's a little bit hard to correlate what you're seeing. Also, notice it'll light up the zodiac signs.
Yes. Yeah.
And stuff like that. But it's a little bit hard to correlate what's on the screen with what's actually in the sky. Because if you could click on one of these stars, it'll kind of identify itself, but in a weird kind of way.
Huh.
Anyway, it's much cooler looking than maybe it is to try to use it.
Okay. But it does look pretty cool. From what you showed me,
yeah.
That is very awesome.
Just a weird one. That Barnes & Noble is trying to compete with the Kindle.
Okay.
And Barnes & Noble now has an iPhone app, and you can buy books from Barnes & Noble for it.
Okay.
That'll download over the iPhone and stuff, over the cellular network. So.
I think we talked about that.
Yeah. Not the Barnes & Noble, I just found out about that.
Oh, okay. Barnes & Noble? So,
yeah. As I say, not the Kindle one, but the Barnes & Noble one.
So I'm going on a trip.
Yeah?
And in fact, I've started making reservations for two different places. I'm going to Thailand.
Oh, good. Okay.
So what's going to happen sometime in... I'm going to go visit Bangkok, and then we're going to go to one of the islands to stay in a villa for probably about 5 days.
Huh.
We're going to be in Bangkok for four.
Okay.
So, me and my girlfriend, I'm thinking to myself, what's really going to be helpful besides getting immunized is to have some sort of a currency converter tool.
Oh, yeah.
So I started scanning through the App Store to look for them. The one that seems to be the best, and I went through, I think, about three of them, even while doing reviews.
Right.
I'm trying to read this. It's called Currency Calc, and I'll try to put a link in there. With the currency.
Yeah, there's a million.
I want to make sure that I get the right one because it actually works very, very well. It updates itself every time you launch it to make sure that the currencies are accurate.
Although for one trip, we're not going to change that much. But the course of one trip. Anyway.
They do.
How are you going to update itself,
change,
by the way?
Though. They do.
How are you going to have it update itself when you won't have any data service there?
There's going to be Wi-Fi there.
Oh, Wi-Fi. Yeah,
I'm sure there will. That's true. That, the place we're staying in Bangkok has Wi-Fi, and the hopefully
you, I hope you find you don't find you have to go down to the lobby to use it or something. Because a lot of foreign hotels, the Wi-Fi is very weak in the rooms. You sometimes have to go to the lobby to actually use it.
Okay. Well, it like a lot of them.
How much are you paying? Is it really cheap? It was not really cheap when we talked to you.
There are some amazing price differences in some of the places.
Yeah.
We actually have been using the Skype phone to make calls to Thailand at night and talk to various different people who work there.
To hotels, to figure out how professional
they are, what's going on.
Right.
And also reading reviews from various different travelers who have been to these places. So
okay.
This one, we're looking at the villas probably about, let's see here, $60 a night.
$60. Grant and I were paying like $30 or something for very nice places.
Really?
That was years ago.
These are beachfront villas, though. These are like
we stayed in a place like that,
really?
Like $30 or something.
Nice.
That was a long time ago. Though.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In Bangkok, there's no.
No, not in Bangkok. The villas are not.
Do you know which island? Do you know which island?
Not Phuket.
Yeah. Okay.
We're gonna stay away from that. I forget the name of the island. There's this one. It's a very funny sounding island name. But we're going to settle on this one area. Right. We're still doing the research for the villas right now. So we've got a bunch of different places. But
okay.
All right. So that's my other iPhone app. I found it to be pretty useful. It works. And
well, look at TripIt for planning your trip and stuff. TripIt is pretty good. Because there's other ones, but this seems to work as well as any of them. And I think it's really cheap or free.
Okay.
But you forward. Anytime you make a hotel reservation or a plane reservation through email, all you have to do is forward the email to their server, and it'll usually perfectly figure out what this event is and add it to your database for your trip.
Okay.
So it'll pretty much build an itinerary automatically of your trip, and it'll then fill in things like in between. Like when you arrive, it'll give you some information about the weather at the arrival and a map of the city of your arrival and things like that.
Wow.
You know, it just fills all that stuff in automatically.
Okay.
Based on the itinerary it gets from the hotel and airplane reservation confirmations, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Huh. All right.
Should go see the bridge on the River Kwai.
The bridge on the what?
The bridge on the River Kwai is in Thailand. It's nowhere near Bangkok, though.
I want to see what the porn stuff is all about.
Yeah.
All the whole sex thing.
Well, they kind of drag you in. Yeah, if you go to a bar or something, they'll start dragging you.
Really?
Yeah,
I'm not so fond of that. I'm just curious about, like, if it's really as crazy as everybody's telling me, and there's just all this, like, kind of rampant stuff going on. And
probably. I mean, I say you certainly see signs about it and people are there. Yeah.
Okay. Oh. Yeah, definitely going to be an interesting trip.
Yeah. But with your girlfriend there, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know.
I somehow think that's not going to matter.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My...
Yeah. I don't. Maybe. Hopefully, it does.
Yeah.
I don't want.
Yeah.
Okay. So the last application that I want to talk about, I downloaded it. I like it, but I'm not. I don't think the. What do you call them? I don't think the notifications are working correctly. They seem to not work. They work a little bit, but they don't work all the time. Not as much as I would expect them to. Right. I got AP Mobile. That application.
They only send them out about one a week or something. It has to be really an emergency before they would bother with sending them out.
If I subscribe to certain channels or whatever and I want to see tech news,
They're very, very, very rare that they send one out.
Okay. I like it because you can get AP news. You can read the news.
Yeah.
And the articles are pretty, they're formatted well. But, but in terms of the notifications, it just sucks.
Yeah, because I know notifications work perfectly because I have a bunch of other apps that send notifications quite often. So Apple's servers are handing out notifications perfectly.
Okay.
So that's why the AP Mobile, as far as I know, it's just them sending them out so rarely. I get one a week at most.
Yeah, I'm the same with me.
Yeah.
So I ditched your Twitter application, the Simple Tweet.
Yeah, you didn't like it?
I ditched it for Boxcar.
No, but Boxcar is not a Twitter client.
Boxcar is simply...
Did you already pay for the other one?
Yes.
Then what was the point?
Because I didn't want the whole application. I've got another one that I like.
Yeah, okay.
That does things that...
What do you like better? Name what they do.
First of all...
Yeah, okay.
If you are following some of the public tweets and you want to save somebody's profile picture...
Yes.
You can't do that.
Probably true.
The one that does let you do that is Tweety.
It'll let you save the profiles and
yes.
stuff? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And people change them all around. So if you've got somebody you want to like save pictures of, you can just simply do that. Use that to do it.
Okay.
Okay. Or somebody does something funny, it's like, haha, that's cool.
Yeah. Okay.
But I didn't want to ditch Tweety.
Uh-huh.
And Simple Tweet seemed to be, didn't have all the apps. I mean, didn't have all the things. It had some nice features, but it didn't have everything that Tweety had for me.
Okay.
And I didn't, I like the notification, but.
Yeah, what
Rockstar
I like
kind of did that. So
yeah, what I like about Simple Tweet is the fact that it's one of the applications that lets you build filtered lists. So you don't have to look at everybody.
Right.
However, in practice, it's filtered lists only go back about an hour or something. I discovered there are problems with it.
Jeez.
So since I have to look at the main feed anyway, Tweety might be just as good. Could Tweety do things in landscape though? Can you web browser landscape?
Yeah.
Can you email URLs of the web page you're looking at without leaving the application?
Yes.
The Simple Tweet will do that.
You can do that.
Okay.
But it doesn't do the filtering yet.
Okay,
that's
but I say
it doesn't do.
But it's because Simple Tweet has weirdnesses about its filtering, and I kind of aren't even. I'm not even using them right now.
Okay. So, it does do the.
Yeah.
It does do the what is it? The range finding, like all the public tweets within a certain range.
Yeah, I will do that.
You can
set
that. I know you mentioned.
I like that. I like that stuff. Yeah.
So that.
And can you add photos? Will it upload photos to TweetPick or whatever?
Yeah, you can choose it. It'll do that.
It'll do that kind of stuff.
Yep,
yeah.
Okay. Did I talk about the driving test?
No.
Has the DMV driving test? I think I did.
To me, but then there's not the show.
I
don't
think. Talk about that?
I'll
talk about that.
Yeah.
I'm done. You.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, other ones. Well, maybe I've talked about this before. I forget. But every time I see someone, like I saw someone at BART today, they're working on a Sudoku puzzle.
Oh, yeah.
I always want to tell them, you know, you don't really need to do that. Let me solve it for you. Because the iPhone has a million Sudoku programs, but there's a couple of them that you can take a photograph of the blank board. And, yeah, I've done this before in a previous show. Let me just mention it.
Yeah.
Since I started. So Sudoku Grab is one that I have. You take a photograph in pretty good light, and that's important, of the blank board, and it'll reverse engineer it and then show it from the photograph. It'll figure out where all the numbers are that you're given to start with.
Okay.
And then you check and verify that it picked it up correctly, you make any corrections you need to, and then just press one button and it'll solve it for you. So as a favor to people, if you see them wasting their time, just go over there and take a picture, solve it for them, and show it to them.
Here, this is what...
So you can go on and do something else more important now.
Never mind that the act of struggling actually helps people learn, helps them keep their mind active.
You keep your mind active by playing with your iPhone. What do you mean? My mind's active. I constantly have the iPhone in my hand. I'm constantly doing things with it.
You're constantly going,
very active.
Shit!
Yeah, I know.
Shit! That app
where'd that app go? Where'd it go?
I know. What do I do? It crashed!
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, I keep your mind active. All right,
I guess that's enough. Yeah, I have a million other apps, but I guess that's enough for today.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, thanks a lot for listening to the show.
We have to review the restaurant.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Le Cheval.
Yeah. And I'm trying to remember. The one in Oakland, I swear the one in Oakland, is the one that has these weird dishes. These weird, like it has a 17-course beef dish or something.
17-course?
Like, maybe not quite that many, but a pretty high number of only beef.
Right.
And every course is beef in a different way.
Wow.
Like you'll have a beef salad. And then a beef soup, and then some fried beef, and some noodly beef, and just everything is beef.
Obviously, that's for vegans and vegetarians only.
Yes, right. Okay. So anyway, this one didn't have that sort of exotic stuff.
No.
The one in Oakland might not anymore, for all I know.
Okay.
It's been years.
All right.
But otherwise, that's good quality.
It might have been the choice that I made that wasn't quite right for me, but I got the coconut chicken. It was kind of bland, not a lot of spices. It was very much different than the soup. The soup was really spicy.
Yeah,
good, and I really enjoyed it, so I was really looking
forward to
it. But
was this coconut chicken like the typical...
I don't know.
Coconut chicken soup, or
was
it...
off the normal path.
But it wasn't soupy,
right? It was more like brothy, but I kind of diverted off the normal path. The normal path would have been vermicelli noodles.
Yeah.
And I just decided, well, this is an upscale place. Let me try something different.
Right.
It didn't quite hit me the right way. It's kind of blah.
Yeah,
so
the
flavor was okay, but it wasn't like what I was expecting.
Right.
So...
Yeah, mine was just... Yeah, that's...
If yours was good.
I did some first of vermicelli with egg rolls. It's kind of a blah dish anyway, but I like it. So it was normal enough.
Yeah, that soup was really good. That was a good choice.
That was.
All right.
Okay.
Cool. So thanks, everybody, for listening to the show.
Thank you. Go to slurpcast.com. Leave comments. Tell your friends.
Yep. What do they do? What do they do? They leave comments and they...
Can they tell their friends?
They correct us with all the mistakes that we made?
Yeah, sure. You can do that. You can do that. Yeah.
Cool.
But we don't make mistakes, though.
We make mistakes.
We make mistakes in the show, right. But they all get corrected in the notes.
Oh, they do?
Yeah. Everyone. Yeah.
I like how you said that.
Yeah.
Mark.
Every mistake that you
edited out and I
make. I don't mean those. No, I'm not talking about it. As I go back and look up stories, sometimes I find that you or I really just made a mistake in our wording.
Okay.
Not something you would have edited out because it was not sneezing or swearing or something.
So we're not blatantly wrong.
Yeah, but not that you would have automatically noticed and edited it out.
Okay.
But I discovered that something's wrong, so I'll put that in the show notes.
Okay.
But the combination of the podcast and the show notes, there's never any mistake left after that.
Not at all. Cool.
Okay.
Okay, guys, thanks a lot. Okay.